Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. Welcome to our online service. Today, we begin a brand new sermon series called Raising Overcomers. And first and foremost, this series is for our parents, the parents in our midst. How do we raise up our children to become overcomers? Because let's face it, not all of our children will be overachievers. Not all of our children will be the next Einstein or the next Mozart. But we can raise up our children to be an overcomer, a person that overcomes challenges as it was thrown in them, a person that overcomes obstacles and emotional difficulties and challenges in life. And to be honest, in many ways, preparing our child to be an overcomer is a much more important thing to do than to prepare them to be the next Mozart. And so if you're a parent, we believe that this series you're going to find very helpful and very practical. But if you're not a parent yet, if you are just a student or a young adult, please don't immediately disregard this sermon series as irrelevant. Because let's face it, when we talk about overcoming challenges, dealing with disappointments or anger, learning from mistakes and growing from pain even, these are all valuable lessons that everybody goes through at each point of their life. And our prayer is that even if you're a parent or not a parent, you'll find God's word to be truly relevant as it guides us in our daily living. Last week, we shared with you our strategies and planning for reopening our in-person worship gatherings, which will happen in October. And if you missed any of the information or if you want to recap any of that, you can visit last week's sermon, or you can also, if you have questions, you can fill in our connect card to reach out to some of our pastors, or you can ask your small group leaders to give you a little bit more information about it. And so as we begin our sermon series today, we begin our worship today, I'm going to invite you to stand and let us pray together. God, as a church, we are preparing to enter into a familiar and also unfamiliar territory. Unfamiliar because reopening, we already addressed a lot of these uncertainties last week. But familiar in a sense that we have experienced a lot of changes in the past. And so God, as we begin our worship today, we want to pray for the church. And also, we'd like to pray for the congregation in the church today that may be going through a similar transition period. Maybe some people, some members in the church are going through a period of change, of uncertainty, or maybe even fear and anxiety. And God, our prayer is that you will increase our faith. Because not all the time do we really believe or do we really have enough faith to see the end. And sometimes we'll doubt and sometimes we'll have anxieties. So God, our prayer today for the church and also for the people going through changes is you will increase our faith. To remember how you have guided us in the past. To remember how you have provided for us in the past. So that our faith will grow and will continue to depend on you even more. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we face our greatest fears, before we fight our greatest foes, we put our faith in you. Before we step into the waves, before we march into the fight, we find our strength in you. We won't forget all that you've done. Streams out of desert, bread out of heaven, faithful provider you are. You brought fire to the darkness, clouds for our shelter, mighty defender you our greatest fears, before we fight our greatest foes, we put our faith in you. Before we step into the waves, before we march into the fight, we find won't forget all that you've done. We won't forget all that you've done. We won't forget all that you've done. You brought a stream out of desert, bread out of heaven, faithful provider. Darkness, clouds for a shelter, mighty defender you are. So we walk not by sight, but by faith on the favor God. We fight not by might, but by strength.
The promise that God gives to his people is this: be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The Lord is with us wherever we go. Church, as we look ahead to the future plans for this church, let us continue to hold fast to God's promise. Let us follow him with faith, even when the road is uncertain or challenging. Let us continue to praise him for his providence and his faithfulness.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands, great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise. God of the promise. Faithful and trustworthy. He is the God who keeps covenants and steadfast love. He has done great things for the Israelites. He let them cross over the Jordan River, helped them to prepare for the battle and conquer Jericho. Church, let's put our faith and trust in Him and believe that He will lead us through whatever challenges that lies ahead of us. Let's give all the glory to our Almighty God. Amen.
A father was leading his little daughter up on a mountain path, and the way was not very easy. So the little girl complains, "Why isn't the path at all? And it's all rock and pumpy." But her father replied, "Dear, the pumps are what you climbed on." You know, it's hard for me to imagine and believe this story is happening right now in this day and age. Just imagine, what if this story is happening in today's society? What would the conversation be like? So the little girl complained, "Why this isn't a path at all? It's all rocky and pumpy." Her father will likely reply something like this, "No problem, dear. I will carry you through. You don't have to walk." Or, "No problem, sweetie. I will drive you there." Or maybe it's actually too exaggerated, but maybe it's respond like this, "Oh yes, it must be difficult for you. Okay, let's play in the playground instead. We don't need to climb up the mountain." You know, when our sons and daughters complain about difficult situations, and as parents, we tend to protect our little ones and do whatever we can to smoothen up their ways. Sound familiar? As parents, one of our greatest fear is often that we will do something to screw up our kids. So we will try our very best to prepare a strong start for them, especially in the early days. The best school, the best meal, the best environment to grow, and in short, best of everything. Most parents will do the same thing. And no doubt, parents want to avoid the adversities or problems on the path of life for our kids. It's normal, because we want to eliminate everything that may have a negative impact on our little ones. If you are parents, you probably know what I'm talking about. But you knew it, deep down in your heart. We're not able to find a successful person whose life was free of problems and difficulties. There's no way. And yes, looking at those successful persons such as Bill Gates, like Steve Jobs or Elon Musk, from a distance, maybe you might think that they have a relatively easy life. However, when you get closer, I'm sure you will surely discover that their climbs to the top of the mountains were not an easy one. The road was always rocky and pumpy, but the pumps were what they climbed on to get onto the top. We don't have to read too far in the Bible before we discover the truth. Abraham certainly didn't become a great man of faith overnight. He had to go through and overcame many difficult tests on the road of life before he reached the top of the mountain. Remember, shortly after Abraham arrived in Canaan, a famine came to the land. Imagine experiencing a severe famine in the land that God has promised you. And then Abraham has a problem with his relative nephew, Lot, and eventually they separate. And then the war came to land, and Abraham had to go out and fight for his life and his possessions. And his wife, Sarah, make a wrong turn and let Abraham go astray. And the result was the birth of Ishmael, a boy who brought sorrow to Abraham's heart. And Isaac, at the end, the promised son, was born bringing great joy to Abraham and Sarah. But then God asked Abraham to put Isaac on the altar, sacrifice his beloved son. Wow. It would be very difficult for any father or mother. Yes, there were many bumps on that road, but Abraham was able to overcome and climb higher. Then you flip the page a few chapters later in the book of Genesis, and you notice one person, Joseph. If anybody walked on a rocky road, Joseph would probably be the expert. Joseph's father pampered Joseph like many of us did, but he was hated passionately by his brothers. Joseph was then sold as a slave, falsely accused, and then put into prisons, forgotten. However, those adversities he has experienced helped him to climb higher. And eventually, Joseph became an overcomer, and one day, he was appointed to be the second in command of all Egypt. Isn't this many of us parents would want our sons and daughter to become a successful person like Joseph? But you see, there are tons of difficulties and obstacles that Joseph has to bear and to deal with. And when you look a little further, Moses had a similar situations, similar experience, and so did David, Daniel, and Paul. These were the people who did not complain about how hard and how difficult the road was and did not avoid the bumps and rocks, but they overcame the adversity in life and used them as stepping stones to climb to the top of the mountain. So in this sermon series, Raising Overcomers, we would like to explore, as Christian parents, how to help our children to face difficulties such as failures, disappointment, anger, pain in the pathway of life, and help them to become the overcomers in this day and age. We live in a time where we were afraid to let children fail. Long gone, really long gone, are the days where children's come home after school and grab a bunch of snack and then hop on to his bike and wandering around the neighborhood and hang out with friends until dinner. These days, children are never permitted to leave their street, likely not their driveway. And parental supervision is there all the time. They cannot climb the trees, they cannot run in full speed because they fear of getting injured. Why? Because they don't want them to fail. Why? Because they don't want them to make mistakes and get hurt. And you know, this is the reality these days. Generation Y and the millennials had helicopter parents who were super involved in their children's upbringing. And you know, support is great, is a great thing. But over-involvement and over-protective in a child's life can stand their growth. In the course of my career, I have lots of opportunity to interviewing young professionals, evaluating their performance, leading and tracking the KPI assessment. Interestingly, most of the people I had worked with, especially those who were younger and freshly graduate, even though most of them were professional in their technical field, they had a hard time dealing with failure or mistakes. You may be surprised by this, but it was nothing new. Many scholars, educators have written books and research on such topic. Julia Lifcott-Hemis was the former dean of freshmen at Stanford University and the author of the book How to Raise an Adult has noticed each year more and more students arrived on campus with an impressive list of accomplishments, but no sense of independency. They had grown up with parents who protect them from failure and make the choices for them and solve all their problems. Julia observed, student was lost, anxious, depressed. They didn't know how to handle when it didn't go their way. Faculties at Stanford and Harvard University invented the term failure deprived to describe this phenomenon that the person who seemed to have difficulties coping with everyday struggles. They connect this lack of resilience or fear of failure is partly because how these young people were brought up. In this day and age, when a kid fails or makes mistakes, we parents become aversive and usually we act stronger than what we needed to, as if there would be no tomorrow. We tend to believe mistake is bad and it will hurt our kids' future. Wow, hurting our kids' future? You know, it's a big thing. We have a natural instinct to shield our children from any harm. So most of us will try our very best to help our kids to avoid making any mistakes. We'll do whatever we can to make the right decision for them and even solve all the problems because we are hardwired by nature to care for them. We parents feel more comfortable that way because we believe we can minimize the chance to fail. It's good for them. But unfortunately, this type of actions does not allow our children to learn from their trials and error. We have deprived our children of the most important lessons of their childhood, which is the setback, the mistakes, the miscalculations and failures are the very experience they need. Not learning to tolerate failure leaves kids vulnerable to anxieties and it leads to meltdowns, whether it happens in preschool or not. And perhaps even more tragic is that it can make kids give up trying. So parents, please watch out. Our kids develop into who they are today is partly because of us, parents. We may not realize it, but our response to our kids' failures or trying to protect them from mistakes can have lasting effect on how they process a setback and move on. We parents can inadvertently create fears in our children by giving extreme caution or demands to avoid certain things. And the fear of failure is just one of them. Our children are looking at us to model emotions and information about safety. And our extreme reaction, usually to help our kids avoid mistakes or failure, may create a sense of fear to our children. And I learned in a very hard way. When Hannah was around much younger, which is around two, three years old, walking up and down the stair made me really nervous. I wanted to avoid any accident or fall at all costs. So whenever she walked upstairs, I always shouted out loud, "Hey, hey, watch out, be careful, watch out, slower, slower, please." But the problem is like this. After some time, Hannah developed a sense of uncertainty when she walked up and down the stairs. So even when she was in the playground, she sometimes had a hard time climbing up the slides or the monkey bars because of the stairs. Really? You can see her, right? She was on it and she was up a few steps and she stopped and asked me to carry her off back to the ground. It doesn't make sense because I knew she can jump up and down on and off on my back and couch, which are much higher. But just like that, Hannah was not comfortable dealing with the stairs. I realized in later time that my strong reaction did in fact pass along the fear to her. And at the end, I have to spend lots of time and effort and prayer to help Hannah to get out of that fear. And that's how our reactions affect our kids. And I learned it the hard way. You know, we are the big influencer on how resilient our kids become and how they handle mistakes and failures for the rest of their life. We are, in fact, the big influencer. Every parent wants the best for their kids and wants to protect them. That's true. But at the end of the day, our unintentional overprotective nature to our children may have hindered and stagnant their growth. You know, although it might feel uncomfortable to some, the best way to make sure our children are able to handle failure, mistakes, and heal from those bumps and bruises that come with it is to let them dust themselves off and come back. This is especially true for the Christian parents. We need to help our kids to fail forward instead of backwards. Because you know, learning from the mistakes keeps and helps building their resilience. And it is essential to raise up our next generation overcomer. Proverbs 28, verse 13, 14. Whoever concealed his transgressions will not prosper, but who confess and forsake them will obtain mercy. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall in calamity. We knew it well. Everybody makes mistakes. And it is impossible for anyone to live without making errors. There's no way. But the key is, what do you do after? It's what's important. Our children are watching us closely to learn how to deal with our missteps when they occur. You can't fool anyone when you try to hide your error because it's obvious. But even if you do it for once, you just can't hide every mistakes and failures you have made. I'm sure every one of us has some personal stories of how we did something wrong. We lie, right? We cheat, we stole, and we told our parents sometimes we're going to one place, but actually we're going to somewhere else, you know? You know all that, and the list goes on, and sometimes we thought we may be able to get away from it, but usually we didn't. We find two different comparisons in Proverbs 28, right? The person who conceals his sin is compared with the person who confesses and renounce his sin. Verse 13. First, we notice the word conceal means to hide, to cover. And our children just like that. They sometimes have a hard time accepting mistakes. Some denied it, them and not me. Some blame on others, and some even panic and hide themselves and even stop taking chances for they fear that they will commit another mistakes. As Christian parents, we have to teach our kids to learn that for those who try to conceal their sin will not prosper. The person who try to hide their mistakes, failures, will not make any progress, and they are heading towards a not-so-bright future. And this is totally opposite to what we want to achieve, because supposedly hiding our mistakes and failure is to prevent any setback. But the problem is, God will not bless this kind of life. So instead, the author of the prophets here is telling us, verse 13 again, he who confess and forsake them will obtain mercy. If we confess and renounce our sin, we will find mercy. So the first step we should teach our kids when they make mistakes is to be honest and acknowledge the mistakes. However, this is not something that was like, okay, I'm sorry. So then you go back to your ways. Not at all. You know, many of us parents have fallen into the same trap, forgiving too fast and too soon. The prophets remind us we should not only confess and admit our wrongdoings, but also forsake and leave them, not doing it anymore. You know, it is an opportunity for us to demonstrate to our children, although it is normal and unavoidable for each of us to have mistakes and missteps, we have to make up our mind and leave the wrongs. Our children may wonder why we have to change, why we have to change the way we do, or why we have to change our wrongdoings. It's because God takes our wrongdoing seriously, and so do we. Proverbs 28:14 makes another comparison on the man who fears the Lord with the one who hardens his heart. God promised blessings to man who fears the Lord. But the man who stubbornly refuses to allow the Lord to soften his heart will live a hard life. Children learn through imitation, and they are watching us and repeating our behavior. If we walk the talk and become the one who fears the Lord always, our sense of regret and remorse and the desire to fix the mistakes or failures rather than to avoid it, and at the end, learn from the wrongdoings, will help our children to develop a healthy sense of healthy attitudes towards mistakes and failure. Our children are watching us. When we are vocal about our own mistakes, and kids will learn how to cope with being wrong and making changes as needed. And that is what we meant of failing forward. To watch someone else, like us parents, to go through the process will help them understand that mistakes are not the end of the world. And it will allow them to observe, to have how someone like us to handle failure and mistakes in a godly way. Remember the story that I shared with you earlier. A father was leading his little daughter up a mountain path, and the way was not very easy. So the little girl complained, "Why, this isn't a path at all. It's all rocky and pumpy." But the father replied, "Dear, the pumps are what you climbed on." Some people may see mistakes and failures as the pumps and rocks in life. And surely, yes, most of us respond in a predictable way to the rocks in the path. We complain about them, we kick against them and only hurt ourselves. And we also try to pick them up and get rid of them, but you know, at the end of the day, only to discover that they are too heavy for us to remove it. Some people just stop and go no further, and other gives up and turn back. So however, if you are able to fine-tuning your focus, those mistakes and failures or rocks and pumps in life can be a critical part of moving forward. And we, the child of God, can use the rock placed in the life as a stepping stone to climb higher. You know, I don't know how many rocks and pumps are in your way right now, but I know some of your feelings, because I have been on this pumpy road myself before. You look at history, Thomas Edison, the great inventor who failed over thousands of times before inventing the light bulbs. He failed forwards. Michael Jordan, perhaps the best basketball player of all time, said, "I have missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost like almost 300 games. 26 times I've entrusted to take the game-winner shot, but missed. And I failed over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed." People only remembered how great Michael Jordan was, but not his missed shot. He failed forward. Failure can be avoided, but it can be a critical part of moving forward. You know, living in the beautiful British Columbia is definitely a blessing. The weather was always wonderful, and there are lots of outdoor activities we can do. And so I decide to start teaching Hannah to bike just before she was like 3 years old. You know, I've heard so many great things about balance bike, so I was very excited to try one out for Hannah and began her learning how to bike journey. I was so pumped at first, Hannah was so very reluctant to try on and keep on hopping back into his tricycle. But after tons of encouragement, practice, incentive, Hannah was finally comfortable with the balance bike. She was a good learner. Only after a few days learning, riding, she was able to handle the balance bike very well on her own. And so I bought her balance bike out along with us all the time. It was in my car, okay? So whenever we have a chance to ride, I would encourage her to give it a go. Well, as a father, I have to admit, I was ambitious. I knew I was pushing her to learn faster she needed to, you know. But, you know, Hannah seems to be enjoying it very much because it make her feel like she's a big girl, and she was so proud of herself when she rode on her bike. So I stick with my plan. But I remember one very nice Sunday afternoon. We were out for lunch, and after lunch, she wanted to ride her balance bike again around the mall. So it's okay. So she did. Hannah was very excited. She enjoyed every bit of her ride. But unfortunately, the situation went south quickly. I didn't realize there was some kind of hidden slope in the parking lot, and Hannah was way too excited to notice that. So she biked into the slope, and all of a sudden the acceleration caught up on her. And she was so scared and didn't know how to stop, and eventually got a fall. Oh my God. Poor Hannah. You know, the blood was all over her face and arms and legs. You know, it was definitely not a pleasant experience. My heart was very heavy that time. And after the accidents, for a few days, Hannah didn't even want to touch her once beloved balance bike. I was really upset by this. As a father, I should have noticed the danger around the place. So I meet my mistakes and apologize my unnecessary ambitions to the whole family. And during the time, I still try my very best to encourage Hannah. So I start sharing with her my own biking learning experience, my silly accidents as well, and how many times I fell before I learned how to bike. And so about a week later after the incident, I bought out the balance bike to play with her again. At first, she was still very reluctant, but I reminded her to the joy of riding, you know. And after a few tries, Hannah was willing to ride on it again. And as days went by, she was getting better each and every day. And within a month or so, Hannah was able to transition to ride on a two-wheel pedal bike with ease. Failure can be a void, but it can be a critical part of moving forward. I strongly believe the accident was part of her moving forward. It is my assignment as a father to play an active part in helping Hannah or my daughter to change her perspective on failures and success. And fast forward to now, Hannah is a competent bike rider on her own, and she sometimes even complains about us riding too slow. Failure is a fact of life. In almost everything you do, you will experience failure. But the key is how you set yourself up and help your child in dealing with it and use it as a stepping stone, and that is the question. Remember, mistakes and failures are a critical part of moving forward. Of course, this is easier said than done. It is very well that our children may feel like quitting or giving up. They may not understand why the road doesn't get easier and why God doesn't remove the stone and strengthen their path. To be honest, if God really removed the stone for us, we may never be able to get to the top because the pumps and rocks are what we can climb on. God doesn't promise us to remove all the stones from the path of life, but He does promise to make them stepping stone and not stumbling blocks. And as parents, in raising up our children, we have to remind ourselves that we are seeing the beginning of their testimony to become the overcomers. God is always greater than the fallout from the choices of your little ones. Remember, God is greater than the bad decisions they might make during the elementary school years. Remember, God is far greater than the consequence of the wrong choices as a teen. And He is greater still than what the headache they might bring to you when they are adults. He is our God who can turn drawbacks and stones in the path of life to make them into stepping stones, not stumbling blocks. Remember, God has entrusted our children to us. So do every little thing you can to give your youngster the love, the encouragement, as well as the support that requires them to become the next generations of overcomers. Parents, church, walk the talk. There's no far better way for you to show them the marvelous truth that God can turn the stones from the path of life to make them into stepping stone for us.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. I see I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father. I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding. No reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again. Running to life from death. dear God. When we run to you, we find a Father with open arms. And it is in your open arms of love, grace, and mercy that we will find everything we need. Thank you, God, for your love and kindness. We need you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Church, you may be seated. I want to share with you one more thought before we conclude today's worship service. You know, as I was listening to the sermon and talking about next generation and raising up children, I can't help but remember the recent news about the residential school in BC. And you may have heard of the news as well that recently there were over 200 children bodies discovered in a BC residential school in just Kamloops, very close to us, in fact. And even though the residential school is somewhat of a past event, and even though, you know, maybe not a lot of us are directly affected or related or relevant to this act, our encouragement as a church to everybody is to learn more about what has happened, to develop an awareness of what has happened. That was one of the sharing that happened in the pastoral meeting throughout these 2 weeks. Because after all, we are called to be light in the world as a church. And being light and extending generosity and extending care, not only as we preach it, and not only in just giving financial donation as we did in the last month, but also really in a very practical way. And so when there's injustice in the world and when there are people in need, our calling is to reach out and to care for them. And so we invite you as a church to find out more about what has happened recently as it relates to the residential school or any injustices or any need in the world. And we encourage you also to maybe develop an awareness of it and also perhaps to explore how we can help and we can extend our care and extend our generosity. And so as we conclude today, I would like to pray for us. I'd like to pray for the church and I'd like to pray for the First Nations. Let's pray together. God, we first want to pray for the families that are affected by the residential school system, the First Nations. God, we know that your heart aches for the people that have experienced injustice and pain. We know that you are a God of righteousness. You are a God that's just, and you are a God that's loving. You have never intended for human beings to hurt one another and to put one another down because of their race or because of their background. And so God, we pray that you will have an act and you will work in this midst of injustice. May you bring justice to light and may you bring clarity as more investigations are being done. And God, we pray for the churches, pray for our church and also pray for the church around BC that will continue to be enlightened in the world, especially in the world of darkness and crookedness. May you give us wisdom as a church of how to act and how to bring your love and compassion and righteousness into this world. And God, we also pray for each of us as individuals that you will grow in us a love for you and also grow in us a love for our neighbors, regardless of who they are, regardless of how they look, regardless of their background. May you grow in us that love for the neighbor. Amen. Church, let me now bless you with the word of God. This is taken from the book of Philippians. Go now to will and to work for God's purposes. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, and be filled with the same love and look to the interests of others. With reverence for God, work out your salvation, because you are the children of God in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. So go shine as lights, not only in your family, not only to your children, but also in the world. Go shine as lights in the world. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Church, we're going to encourage you to continue your worship through offering, and you can do so by scanning our QR code. You can find more information on our website. Quick reminder, we have communion next week, and make sure to prepare some elements throughout the week today. And we'll see you next week.